Oh, glory to Jesus. You know, I was thinking about Mother's Day. I was blessed that I was raised up in a home where my mom was a very lighthearted lady, and she was a touchy, hands-on kind of person. And so if you people see me around the church and you try to shake my hand, most of the time I'm not going to let you do that. I'll go ahead and reel you in and hug on you, because that's the way that my mother was. She was a touchy, feely, squeezy, huggy mom. In fact, we called her the mugger. That's the way she was. She would grab a hold of you and reel you in and love you. And it didn't matter how old you got, she would still do that, because that's the way she was. And then I was thinking about Nikki and I and our little girl that we had. You know, when she was first born, some of you people may not know this medically speaking, but it's easier for a baby to say dada than it is to say mama. And I can remember when Laura Beth was real little, and we'd be right in front of her, and it didn't matter if she was in the crib or sitting in her high chair or whatever. We would look at our little girl, and she'd smile away, and she'd say, dada, dada, dada. And Nikki would look at her, and she'd say, now look at sweetheart, look at me, say, mama, mama. And Laura Beth would look her right in the face, just deadpan, and she would say, dada, dada. Well, you know, it took a little while before she could finally say mama, but here's the deal with that. Once Laura Beth learned how to say mama, that was pretty much the end of dada. Because from that time on, if she was hungry, mama. If she was hurting, mama. When she needs to do her homework, mama. When she needs encouragement, even though I can give it to her, mama. When she's feeling bad, she wants her head right there on mama's shoulder. Now, I can do that, and I love my daughter with all my heart, but how many of you know that nobody can take the place of a loving mother? And so I just wanted to say that from the time the little ones are starting to grow up, you dads, we do a good job, and I'm not saying we don't love our kids, but you all know, you dads, you had a mama, and you know where I'm coming from. The mamas, the nurturing ones, they are the ones that really shape the world. And when I was thinking this morning and this past week about what do I share concerning Mother's Day, and the Lord just dropped a little phrase on my heart, and it's called Mothers of Destiny. Mothers of Destiny. And this past week when I was thinking about that, I was thinking that, you know, a mother never really realizes what she's got when that little one is born into her family. When the mother gives birth, I don't think any mother quite realizes all the potential that's wrapped up in that little spirit that God places in her hand and entrusts her with developing that little one along the way in life. But mothers truly are mothers of destiny, because mothers have it in their heavenly DNA that God put in them. In fact, any time that I go to the hospital when some mother has a little baby, the first thing I will do is tell that mother, and I'll tell the dad as well, but mainly the mother, because she spends the majority of the time with the child in most cases. And I say, mother, it might be an intimidating thing for you knowing that you've got this little life that you're taking care of right now. But I want you to know that God believed that you had it within you. He placed the ability. He put the ability on the inside of you to be the most wonderful, awesome parent to that child. I said to that child that you can possibly be. And so God places it in the mother's heart, the ability to supernaturally parent that child and raise that child up and develop that child all through its life. And the mother's job never stops. It doesn't matter if the kids are out of the nest, the mother's job still goes on. Because how many of you know mothers? Once a mother, come on, you can help me out. Once a mother, that's exactly right. So I thought about mothers of destiny. And the first thing that God does is that He entrusts mothers to nurture and love and encourage and instruct the little ones by precept and by example. In fact, in the Bible, it tells the mothers to train up a child in the way it should go. Now, it doesn't always say the way a child can go, because truly a child, unless it's disciplined, that child can grow up and it can do whatever it wants to do. But it's saying in the Word of God that you mothers can train up that child. The word train means to hedge in. How many of you know that when little bitty ones they get big enough to start crawling, the first thing they try to do is crawl away from you. Isn't that right? And then when they get big enough to walk, they're trying to walk away from you. And they get a little bit bigger and they get a bike and they're trying to ride away from you. Then they get a car and they're trying to drive away from you. And sometimes mothers fail to realize that the whole time you're raising up your children, that God places it in them little by little to be developed in such a way that they grow and mature to one day move out of the nest and begin to do their own thing. But the Word says that from a small little age that the mothers, we know the fathers have the responsibility too, but it says the mothers and the fathers, they're to train up that child in the way that it should go. See, in Proverbs 14 and 12, it says there's a way that seems right onto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It can separate someone from the plan and the path that God has for them. And so we need to know that as you mothers are out here, that if you are disciplined and you're consistent in raising up your children, I can promise you, God didn't lie when He said this. He says, you train up a child in the way that it should go. And here's the good promise. It says, and when that child is grown up, it says, it won't depart from that way. It'll stay on that straight and narrow path that you mothers set it on to train up. In Deuteronomy 6, it says that if you remind your children of the Word of God as your children are growing up, and keep the Word before your children and make the Word a priority for your children, your children, the Bible says, will grow up and they will inherit homes that they did not build. Oh, I like that. They will inherit wells that they did not dig. Why? Because you train them up in the way they should go. Now, I can't figure out how God, can bless a person in all the ways that He does. But I do know one thing for sure. When you raise up your children in the way they should go and put the Word of God in their heart and teach them by precept and example to follow the way of the Lord and to live in line with God's Word, I can't explain it, but I do know one thing for sure. When they grow up, they will be mightily blessed in every area of their life because of what the mother's influence does in their life. It also talks about the fact in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that if we teach our children to grow up and to honor us as parents, it says two things will happen. It says, number one, that it will go well with your children. Now, I don't know about you mothers, but I believe all you mothers out here want it to go well with your children. And not only that, but it says they'll live long on the earth. That means they'll have a long and fruitful and productive life on the earth if you raise your children up to honor you. And how do you do that, mothers? How do you raise your children up to honor you? You raise them up to honor you by honoring them. Amen. If you treat your children with love and honor and respect and talk on a level with them that they're living on, and don't try to talk above them or talk down to them, your children will grow up respecting you because they know that you really care for them and you're communicating with them in such a way that you're not demeaning them, you're not putting them down, but you're always looking for a way to bless them and to lift them up and to exhort them. As a matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit is in demonstration, He always exhorts and admonishes. Amen? So that's what we're supposed to do as mothers, is to build our children up in such a way that when they grow up, they're going to follow the ways of the Lord. See, here's the thing about you mothers. God knows, and He's a faith God, isn't He? God knows that every mother in here, you have exactly what you need in you to raise that child up, no matter what that child is ultimately called to do. You don't always know the path that that child is going to take somewhere down the road. But I believe that if you believe in that child and you believe that God has His hand on that child and you begin to build that child up and do your best to love that child and nurture that child and make that child feel secure in the home, mothers, I believe that ultimately, even though children are going to make mistakes along the way, that as a mother, if you raise your children up by faith, just like God does us, this is what the Lord told me about all kids in your home. Oh, this is good, mothers. He said, none of your children are perfect, but they're all great. Oh, some of you will get that on the way home. They are not going to be perfect. How many of you are perfect? No, they're not going to be perfect. But God has placed greatness on the inside of every one of our children. He's no respecter of persons. When I learned years ago that in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men, the development of men, I learned that as our little ones were growing up, that it was our job to put that light in them. And it wasn't just to give them the natural things, it was to give them the spiritual things that they needed in order to grow them up. And so a lot of you people know that. Nikki and I put together a confession sheet. They're right over there by Tommy in this little folder right here. And when we would bring our kids to school, and even Laura Beth now, our little one, when we would bring her to school on the way, we would begin to proclaim over her, thank you, Lord, that our child is mightily blessed to the Lord, that she has the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that just like Jesus every day, that our daughter is growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thank you, Lord, that every day you bless everything that she puts her hands to. Whatever she does, you bless it and prosper it. Whichever way she goes, our daughter is blessed and prospered. Thank you, Lord God, that our daughter is very extremely advanced, that she is 10 times smarter than any unbeliever. She's the head, not the tail. She is above only and not beneath. Our daughter is blessed going out and coming in the storehouse and in the field. And my God blesses everything that our daughter sets her little hands to. Glory be to God. And so when our kids grow up and they begin to shine, and our kids grow up and they begin to develop, and our kids grow up and they begin to rise up above the normal, and they do things that other kids aren't able to do, and they walk in a wisdom that's way beyond their years, and they demonstrate a supernatural ability, and other people scratch their head and say, my gosh, how did those kids end up that way? Well, they're a product of the mamas, and they're a product of what we've put in our kids and what we've spoken over our kids and what we've taught our kids by precept and by example. I'm telling you, mothers, this morning, there is great greatness in your house right now. Glory to God. In your house right now, as I'm speaking this morning, there are doctors, great doctors in our houses right now. There's inventors in your house right now. There's builders in your house. There's architects in your house. There's preachers in your house. There's teachers in your house. There are entrepreneurs in your house. There's inventors in your house. Glory be to God. And the half has not been told what you have in your house, in your children. I believe that every one of our children, every one of our children have been destined by God to be a sign and a wonder in the earth. In Isaiah 8:18, it says, my children are for signs and for wonders. I believe every one of your children, glory to God, have been designed by the Lord to be a sign and a wonder in their school, to be a sign and a wonder your babies in the daycare, to be a sign and a wonder in the colleges and in the universities and on the professional level and on the ministerial level. I believe every one of your children, Mama, I believe every one of them are called to do great things for God. But you have to see that. You have to know it, that God has placed within you the ability to be able to see beyond their faults and see beyond their mistakes, and by faith begin to proclaim what you know in your heart your child is called to be and to do in life. You know, when Jesus came into the earth, the Bible says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He came into a world that was dark. He came into a world that was scared. He came into a world that was sick. And because he was raised up by the kind of parents that he was raised up under, this one child, he changed the whole world. And you know, this past week, as I was thinking about that, you know, this isn't Christmas time. But I was thinking about just the impact that one child can have in a home. And I know it's not Christmas time. And tell your neighbor, say, thank God Brother Dean's not going to sing. Amen, I'm not going to sing. I might yodel in a little bit, but sing, no. Anyway, the song that came to me, just to show the emphasis of one child mother in your home, is the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I'm not going to sing it, but I'm just going to give the words to you because it lets you know, mothers, that what you're doing is so important. What you're doing, mothers, is helping to change the destiny of our world. It's going to change the destiny of medical science as all these different kind of sicknesses and diseases run rampant in the earth. The Lord's going to give you answers to deal with that. There's going to be sons and daughters of yours that are going to be raised up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to walk in a healing anointing. And if people that are sick even get near them, the healing power of God's going to hit them and drive out that sickness and dis-ease, because that's what it is. It's sickness and dis-ease. But it says here, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Glory to God. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule all the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? This sleeping little child you're holding is the great I Am. Man, that's quite a song, isn't it? See, you mothers need to know that you have world changers in your home. And if you raise your children up that are in your home, mothers, with the mindset, I can. No matter what they face in life, when your children are in grade school and other kids are struggling with math or science or whatever, your child won't be like that. Your child will look at them like, I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And when they get a little bit older into junior high school and they're starting to learn algebra and all these other kinds of math deals, you know, I thank God for mothers when it comes to algebra. And Nikki looks at me, I just say, hey, you go and take care of Laura Beth and algebra, you know. You ever hear that saying, do the math? Well, that's me telling Nikki and Laura Beth, you guys go ahead and do the math. I'm not going to do that. Thank God for mothers that can do the math. And so we build our children up to know that they can do all things through Christ, and we build them up. There was several examples that I thought of in the Bible. And if you want to put them up on the screen, if you can, that'll help us out. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I thought of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 11. We're going to go through four examples of mothers real quickly. Praise the Lord. If they don't get it up there, I'll just go ahead and share it with you anyway. But, Hannah, you know the story. She was in the temple and she was crying, and Eli came up to her and he said, you know, what's wrong with you? And she basically said, well, you know, I'm trusting the Lord, but, you know, I don't have a child. And Eli looked at her and he says, you know, he says, the Lord's going to give you the desire of your heart. And so she kept trusting the Lord for that. And she cried out. And the word says that she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord, watch this now, all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And some of you, if you've read Samuel, you know this. The Bible says, in the day of Samuel, in the day that Samuel lived, there was no open vision. The word says there was no revelation. There was nobody that can hear from God. There was no one that knew how to commune with God. There was no one that knew how to receive revelation from the Lord. And so the Lord had to raise up somebody that could hear from God and be a spokesman. And Hannah didn't really realize when she had that desire in her heart to bring forth this child. I don't think she really knew what all that child would do. But one thing she did that was smart, mothers, she says, when this child is born, I'm going to give that child right back to God. And when she did, she took him to the temple. You know the story. Eli's two boys, they were bad boys. I mean, Eli, he blew it with his kids. But, you know, I tell you, Hannah, in that short little while, must have spoken over her son so many words of prophecy and words of him fulfilling the will of God in his life, that even from a small child, this little guy would minister unto the Lord. And from a small age, when he was just a little teenager, when he started hearing from God, he'd go to the prophet and say, "Did you hear that?" And the prophet would say, "Hear what?" Several times he'd come back and say, "Did you hear that?" And the prophet would say, "I didn't hear anything." Finally, he said, "Well, you know, the next time, if you hear that voice, you just say, okay, Lord, here I am, your servant. You go ahead and talk to me." And from that time on, he realized it was God talking to him. And he ended up being a prophet to the nations. And he was anointing kings and leaders and rulers because of Hannah giving him to the Lord. And then there's a story in Exodus chapter 2 about Moses. When Moses' mother had him, the word says that she saw a fair countenance over Moses. She saw that there was something special about this little boy. But you guys know the story. Israel, for about 400 years, had been in bondage. They were being treated very badly for a long time. And the Lord kept looking over the children of Israel, and he couldn't find one person that he could raise up to deliver the people. And finally, here came Moses' mother, Jochebed. And she's the one, by the way, that raised up Aaron, who was a spokesperson for God. And she raised up Miriam. And Miriam, I think, knew a little bit about praise. And not only that, she knew a little bit about playing the tambourine, because when they got delivered, she led the whole nation in praise and worship. Isn't that amazing? But Moses came out of her womb, and when she looked at Moses, she knew that he was a fair child. She didn't know exactly what God had called this child to do, but the mama knew this child was very special. And the word said she hid that child as long as she could, because the Pharaoh, you know, he knew these Israeli women were so lively. They were having these babies. I mean, they were popping out like popcorn, and they were afraid. They were intimidated because of the favor of God that was on the children of Israel. So he just made a decree, if it's a boy, get rid of him. If it's a girl, it's okay. They can live. Well, Moses' mother hid him out for as long as she could, for several months. And then all of a sudden, this baby, he got to be making too much noise in the house. I mean, he got to be so noisy and boisterous that she couldn't keep it a secret anymore. So she did a very, very unique thing. She took that little guy, and the word says she put him in an ark. An ark is a place of safety. And she put that little guy right down there by the bulrushes. And, you know, I like how Shambach said it years ago. He says, "No, I'm using my imagination a little bit." But I believe that when Jochebed was talking to the Lord, she looked up to the Lord and said, "Now, Father, I've done everything that I know to do to protect this little guy, but I can't do any more. I have done all I can do. And now, Lord, I'm going to place this baby in your hands. I'm going to give this baby to you, and I'm going to let you do what only you can do, God, with my precious little one." She put him in that ark, put him out there in the bulrushes. And the word says when that baby was in the bulrushes, that it wasn't too long before one of Pharaoh's daughter's servants came along, and Pharaoh's daughter was there and saw the baby in the bulrushes. But I like how Shambach says it. You know, he uses his imagination a little bit. He says, "I think when she put that baby in the ark, little Moses, and put him down by the water, He says, I think probably what really happened was is that before it lodged in the right place, he said, I really believe that the Holy Spirit saw that ark with the baby in it. And he goes, and the Holy Spirit blew that little ark to the very place that the Pharaoh's daughter would happen upon and saw that baby. And you guys know the story is almost hilarious. She said, you know, I got to find someone to take care of this little baby and nurse it. Brought it right back to his very own mama. And she got to nurse that baby on her breast and raise that baby up. And that baby, Moses, that one little guy that she raised up, became a deliverer of between 2 and 3 million people. It took faith on her part to hide that baby out because she could have been killed for doing that. But something on the inside of her said, you know what, there is something special about my child. And I'll tell you what, mothers, come on, tell the truth, mothers. Tell the truth, mothers. Don't lie, mothers. Is there something special about your child? Come on. Come on, lift your hand up. Don't be dishonest. Amen. Every mother in here, you know that those children of yours, it doesn't matter about the other children. Now, you love them all. You'll pray for them all. But there's no child like your child. Isn't that right? And you know what? Because they're your child, that makes them special to you. And listen, if they're special to you, they're special to God. And if you mothers know that God has great plans for them, don't think that God doesn't too. He does. Great plans. Then we know in Luke chapter 1 where Elizabeth was the mother of John. And she raised him up to a place where he became the voice of one, crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. You say, well, how does this tie in with mothers? Well, evidently, these mothers had it in them to raise these children up in the way they should go. You know why? Because they fulfilled the destiny that God had for their life. Isn't that good? Praise the name of the Lord. And then we know the story about Jesus, obviously, with Mary, that she raised Jesus up. And, you know, this is what the Lord told me. Do you know how important that Mary was to Jesus? I'll tell you how important that Mary was to Jesus. Joseph was a carpenter. So Joseph was building houses. Joseph was building chairs. Joseph was building different things. But Mary, she was building a king. Oh, some of you didn't get that. Joseph was a carpenter. He was building homes, but his mama, Jesus' mama, was raising up a king. And you guys know the story about him. He wasn't always a good little kid. You know, they went into Jerusalem to worship there in the temple just like they always did. And the word says that there came a time when they were in there worshiping the Lord. And when the time got done from worshiping the Lord, they took off outside of Jerusalem, a couple of days' journey. They looked around the camp and Jesus is not there. And so they go back to the city and they look all over for Jesus. And where is Jesus? As a 12-year-old boy, he was raised up in the Word with such greatness that as a 12-year-old boy, this little guy was sitting there talking to the doctors of the law and the letters of the law, and they were being blown away by the answers that he was giving them. But not only that, they were being dumbfounded by the questions that he was asking them. And this happened when he was 12 years old. And the Word says that even when they went back, when Jesus went back to his own home and he was being raised up, I already mentioned that earlier. But when it talks about Jesus, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. That means that Jesus must have had a mama that knew about wisdom. She knew about stature. And she knew about favor with God and man. Because how could she raise him up to be that way if she wasn't that way? See, this is what's interesting. We always brag about the Bible characters. But I'm telling you, when you go back and study the Bible characters, the people that we read about, that do great and mighty things all throughout the Word of God, even Jesus who walked on the water, even Jesus who stilled the storms, even Jesus who raised the dead, they did not end up that way by accident. They were raised up by God-fearing mothers that honored the Lord and honored the Word and honored the family unit and raised their children up in such a way that they did great and mighty things in the earth. Glory to God. So I'm saying this morning that you mothers are mothers of destiny. And you know what? You have the ability in you to raise up those children to be dynamic for the Lord. And like I said before, in your home there's preachers, there's teachers, there's inventors, there's scientists in your home, but you've got to believe that. And you know what? The Lord told me, He said, when you're up there this morning, you tell the mothers this. Are your children going to be perfect? No, they're not. But He said this. He said, you tell the mothers this morning when they come in here. He said, Dean, you tell the mothers, you do your best, and God will do the rest. Amen. Mothers, you do your best, and God will do the rest, because He really will. You know, this little plaque, some of you can't see this because it's pretty small, but this was given to Laura Beth's mama in May of 2004. Now, if you do the math, she was a little T90 back then. Now she's going to be in ninth grade this year, but back then she was about that big. And a lot of you, you know, you've had children in preschool and daycares and stuff, so you know that. They'll take their little hand when they're real little, and they'll put it in the paint, and then they'll put it either on a piece of paper or whatever, and they'll have a little saying that goes with it. And so when our girl was little, years ago in 2004, May of 2004, isn't that amazing? They put this little plaque together, and Laura Beth brought it home to give to her mama. And this is what it says. It says, sometimes you get discouraged because I am so small and always leave my fingerprints on furniture and walls. But every day I'm growing up, and soon I'll be so tall that all those little handprints will be hard to recall. So here's a special handprint just so you can say, this is how my fingers looked when I placed them here today. Mothers, your children are going to grow up real fast. And you know, I'm talking to the mothers this morning because it is Mother's Day. And we want to appreciate and value everything that the mothers have done. But it would not be right, even though we brag on you mothers and we appreciate you and we love you and we honor you and we thank God for you and we pray for you, but it would not be right for me to be here to not encourage you mothers, no matter how old your children get. That's one of the things that I can say being on staff. I've been on staff for a lot of years here, and sometimes I'll have parents that come in and it seems like their children get to that college age or that age where they get out the door and they, you know, they've been brought up right, they've been taught right, they've been in church all their life, and then they get out there and they decide to sprout their wings and experiment a little bit here, a little bit there, doing this or that. And sometimes the mothers think, where did I go wrong? Well, mothers, you didn't go wrong. You didn't go wrong. Your children have to grow up. Mothers that are out there that have children that are growing up, let me ask you this. When you got about that age, how'd you do? Come on now. Did you make all the right choices? Did you? No, you know you didn't. You know you didn't. Come on. So they say, well, what do I do? You know, my children, they're not living the way I think they should. I said, well, let me ask you this. Are you reading the Word? Yes. Are you praying, seeking the Lord? Yes. Are you praying for your children? Oh, yeah. You're going to church? Oh, yeah, all the time. Keep doing it. Amen. Keep doing it. The best favor, mothers, that you can give your children is a lifetime of being in the Word and being in prayer and being involved in the things of the Lord and being in church. And if you do your best, I'm telling you, God will do the rest. But mothers, this morning, in your house is doctors in the making. In your house is scientists. In your house is inventors. In your house is builders. In your house, glory be to God, are so many gifted and talented and anointed young ones that it takes revelation from the Lord for you to see that. But if by faith you'll raise your children by faith, and if by faith you'll call those things which be not by faith, and if by faith you keep loving your children and you keep speaking the word over your children and you keep being an example to your children and you never give up on your children and you never quit on your children, but you keep loving your children, keep being a light to your children, keep exhorting your children, keep building up your children, keep being an example to your children, there is no way, I said, there is no way that your children won't grow up to be all that God's called them to be and then some. Your children will rise to the top. Your children will be the best. I'm telling you, if you put the word in them and you build your children up and you be the example to your children that you need to be, your children will be the cream of the crop in every area, in every arena that God sends them into. How many of you mothers believe that? Glory to God. I believe that with all my heart. We've got the best mothers in the world right here in Word of Life Church. Glory to God. So you raise them up the way they're supposed to be. Never quit speaking the word over them. Trust the Lord. You do your best and leave the rest up to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I've delivered the living bread. And so now we're going to do something that mothers always love to do. How many of you know that mothers always love to get their family around the communion table? Well, I guess some moms do, Carl. Glory to God. You know, this is the truth. You know, I've been to family reunions and I've been to family gatherings. And you know, there can be all kinds of activity going on and they're flipping burgers and doing all these kinds of things. But if you want to look where the family gatherings take place and see who the smiling, happiest one is, it's when all the people get around that table and you look over and see Mama's face. Because on Mama's face, you see pure joy, because that's the delight of their heart, is to get all their family around the communion table. Amen. And that's really what it is. Now, we're going to receive communion in a moment here. But it's really family around the table, just celebrating being in one another's presence. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You guys want to help me and we'll get those elements. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, thank you this morning that it's a special time when we can come together and we can know, Lord, in our hearts that all these precious mothers that are here today, that they've loved their children and they've prayed for their children and they've given for their children, and they've sacrificed for their children, and they've been an example to their children. Lord, you said in your word to not be deceived, that God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, that shall they also reap. And Lord, I thank you that your purposes and plans for all these precious ones that these mothers have given birth to, that they're all going to come to pass. Every one of these children that have been called to be children of destiny, because their mothers are mothers of destiny. Their mothers are called by you, Father, to be changers of destiny. Lord, I thank you that you caused the mothers in here to never, ever, 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 ever forget this message. That in their house is greatness. That in their house is young, precious spirits that are going to soon grow up and go out into their world and make their mark forever and ever. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we go to your table, that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For you said, Father, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. And we thank you, Jesus, that when you died on that cross, that even before you went to that cross, that you received those stripes on your back and your body was broken and blood was shed. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are the healed of the Lord, and by the blood of Jesus that our sins can be washed and cleansed from our hearts. And Lord, as we come to the table, we just celebrate the fact that we come to the table as family, the family of God. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that because of that blood, Father, we have forgiveness. And Lord, we're going to take the time to examine our own hearts and see if there's anything in our life that needs to be changed this morning. And Lord, even for the mothers that are here, even for the fathers, even though this is a Mother's Day message, even for the fathers that are here, Lord, help them to be moved upon in their heart, that they can help their wives, who are the mothers of their children, to fulfill the destiny that God has for them for the future. And Lord, that if they've made mistakes in parenting, Lord, that you'll help them to just start being the kind of examples that they need to be, and to see that in their home, and even from some of them that out of their home, are young people that they've raised up, that your hand is upon, that your blessing is upon, that your call is upon the life of these young ones to be world changers. And so we give you praise and thank you, Lord, that as we prepare our hearts for communion, we'll remember that that blood was shed for us. And so we thank you, Lord. We prepare our hearts in Jesus' name.